Today's News AF podcast is sponsored by TrueCar. You know, there's something about TrueCar a lot of people don't know. Using TrueCar can help you buy a used car. In fact, there's over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. Whether you're looking to buy a new or used car, you can get upfront pricing information that empowers discounts off the list price for used cars and a better buying experience through the TrueCar certified dealer network, where you'll get to see what other people paid for the car that you want, so you know what a fair prices, and you can feel confident. With TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing, and you can enjoy a quick and easy car buying experience. With TrueCar, you'll easily find that new or used car that you want. Once you register, you see the real price on the actual inventory. That's competitive pricing offered to you only by a TrueCar certified dealer for an actual factual vehicle on their lot. It's pricing you'll see before you go to the dealership, so you can feel confident when you show up. There's over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino back here with the week's most interesting and spooky stories of the week of October 31st, 2017, here on News AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
That's right. Happy Halloween, everybody. News AF is coming back at you with a lot of news you can use once again. Here is a man who is taking some time out of packing up all of his boxes. Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
So good. Well, actually moving. Yeah, I'm not so. I'm great as a person. Like, I feel fine.
Sure.
Everything's fine. But packing is a big pain in the butt. I didn't realize we owned so much crap.
Yep.
Like, I remember moving into this place before me and Rachel were living together. And I could fit all of it into my 1999 Ford Contour.
Mm-hmm. Now you basically have the entire Goop catalog.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Two times over.
House. Yeah.
So, yeah, it is ridiculous. Even how many clothes and things that I've accumulated over the last 5 years, it's like, sure, I look cool, but at what cost?
Right. You've given up your space for that.
When I moved, I thought I would pack stuff up and be like, okay, this is garbage, right? And then the wife would be like, no, that's not garbage. That has to go. I'm like, but it looks just like garbage. These are all broken toys from McDonald's. Why are we taking two garbage bags full of them back to our other house?
We need them.
Well, Greg was like, my friend helped me move yesterday, and we found this lamp frame with a bulb on it, but it was like so junky. And I was like, let's just toss this. And he's like, you better check with Rachel because women are weird about lamps. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is that true? And he's like, yeah, apparently it's hard to find a good lamp or something. So I was like, well, I think she'll be okay if we donate it to Goodwill or something. So I bring it in the house. I'm like, Rachel, this can go to Goodwill, right? And she's like, no. But it was sitting in a storage unit. We went to pick all of this stuff up at our little storage unit to bring here so we can pack it in the truck. So we haven't even used it for the last 3 years.
Oh, boy. Basically, what you're doing right now is what the Postal Service does every day, and that's just move the garbage around.
Yeah. It's just, if we could just, instead of... That's a good idea, Danny. Instead of filling landfills with garbage, if we just pack boxes with garbage and had like all the different shipping services just mail them to addresses that didn't exist and then ship them back to somewhere else and they're just in constant circulation.
Wait, why are we doing this?
So that we don't have landfills.
Yeah. So and it keeps the postal service open.
Yeah, okay. Imagine if the landfill in New York that there was a huge issue with, where they were shipping their garbage to and stuff,
right,
just started packing it in boxes and paying the U.S. Postal Service to just ship it.
Yeah, this is good for when the robots take over the whole workforce. And it's like, well, what jobs are people going to have? This could be the job of we're just going to start just like shipping the garbage everywhere. And the garbage is constantly moving like this bucket brigade.
I check my mailbox every day and I just shake my head. because all they've done is cram my mailbox with junk. And I think to myself, the mailman or woman or mail person must just, their life must just be so hollow. They must know that they're not really contributing anything. They're just spreading the garbage around.
Yeah. No, they literally are bringing you the spam. You know, you used to get letters and now, you know, there's still mail, but now just like your email, it's, you know, 95% spam.
Yeah.
It's you might get a card once in a while, but other than that, it's all cards and spam.
Probably spam.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know who it is. It's that the first people that used to do live TV streamed, it starts with an S.
The first people that
tell
used
me,
to Slingbox.
Sling yeah. TV. They send you a card once you unsubscribe from them. They send you a card that looks like it's a real card. Like it's in a nice envelope and it says, "We miss you," like in handwriting. And you're like, "Who the heck is this?" And you open it and it's like $5 off Sling if you rejoin. And for a limited time, you get a Roku streaming stick too. And you're like, "Oh my God, I can't fall for that." And then like 2 weeks later, you get another one and you're like, "Huh, this is nice. Somebody sent me a card. Who would have possibly sent me a card in this day and age? Why not just email? It's them again."
Yeah,
man, this is why.
Like five times.
This is why those stories about mail people who just drive their mail truck right to the garbage dumpster and just throw all their stuff in there. You're like, thank you for saving me the hassle of doing that myself.
Yeah,
right. And at least your email, you can like block some spam. Mm-hmm. You could like sort of like, oh, like don't send me anything else from this sender. You can't do that with the real mail.
No.
Yeah. You know, I have not officially introduced Danny on the podcast. Here is the Eye in the Sky, Danny Bryson, who is avoiding not one but two Halloween parades by being on this podcast today.
Oh man, I can't even explain to you how happy I am not to have to go sit at an elementary school which smells like a wet moldy sock and just watch a bunch of kids I don't care about, just to see my kid who I've already seen in costume walk by me.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. And my wife said, "Well, he'll be really sad if I don't go." And I'm like, that's just crazy. He won't remember this in like 2 weeks. He will have forgotten it happened at all.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember participating in any of these or see like looking to the side and seeing my parents.
Did they have them?
My mom is so proud of me right now. I am a werewolf.
Mm-hmm. You look so good, son. You're making us proud.
They just care about candy.
Here's your trophy.
Yeah, that's all they care about today.
Also, the other interesting thing, Danny, is you're saying how elementary schools stink like wet, moldy socks.
Yes, so true.
Is this the transition where you transition from the kid who thinks that old people smell disgusting to the old person that think kids smell gross?
Whoa.
Hey, Tyson, wait until you have, unfortunately, you don't have a little boy, but you might have a little boy and you will discover that they smell so bad all the time.
No, I have nephews and they do smell bad all the time. It's like they come in and they take their shoes off and I'm like, no, put your shoes back on and get outside.
Oh my gosh, they smell
so bad.
Horrible.
Get off my couch.
You're like, you just took a bath last night. Have you been rolling around in dog crap all day? Because that's what you smell like.
Have you been teaching them to scrub their butt cracks out properly without crossing any?
I'm just happy if my kid can wipe properly, let alone cleanse himself in the shower properly. It's one step, baby step, Tyson. I gotta work up to the finer points of life.
All right. Well, after that scary news, I guess we got a couple of Halloween scary stories to talk about here today on this Halloween Day News AF. And I guess let's talk about the scariest story of them all. And people were horrified to find out this week that there is a new pizza topping which exists. Someone has put strawberries on a pizza, Danny.
Okay, but I need more information. What's the sauce?
It appears to be tomato sauce.
Oh.
You were thinking like chocolate sauce with...
Chocolate, yeah, for you, that's what really what you wanted,
or some kind of sweet sauce on a, like a dessert pizza. Bread, like a dessert pizza, right? That's,
no,
that's what I have to understand.
This was not a dessert pizza. This was a
savory pizza.
A photo was tweeted by a Twitter user at moon emoji with two eyes and tweeted out this picture of a pizza that was ordered that has sliced strawberries as the topping, the same way you would get like pepperoni or sausage. Sliced strawberries.
Abomination.
This isn't even news. I mean, it's just a guy that's like, how can we go viral? Well, why don't we put something stupid on a pizza? Oh, that's a good idea. And now these guys are viral and we're giving them the attention they've always wanted for doing something.
How dare you, Tyson, call into question the editorial judgment of this program?
Tyson, I think that
it's not our editorial judgment. It's the world's editorial judgment.
We're commenting on the commentary.
I think it went like this, Tyson. I believe they had the discussion, how can we get on the news? And the first suggestion that came up in that meeting is, we could have you get strangled by a sex robot. And when he thought that was a little too hard edge, they went with the strawberry pizza.
Yeah, they're like,
the first person to be murdered by a sex robot will make the news. And definitely. Probably some textbooks somewhere.
Their name will forever be etched in history.
Yes. But this one was the easier. He's like, no, let's just put something crazy on a pizza because food news is easy news.
Yeah. And it's hot right now.
It's a hot take.
Food news. Yeah, hot food. I mean, is this as bad as it sounds? A strawberry pizza, Tyson?
I would think so. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a fruit on pizza type of guy. Well, I like pineapple on pizza just fine.
Technically tomato is a fruit.
I like tomato on pizza.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if we're getting technical.
Yeah, but I mean,
I've had sliced lemons, like super thinly sliced lemons on pizza. That was fine. It was just like a lemon zest flavor to it.
Lemons on a pizza.
Yeah.
Like that's really, I feel like that's out there.
But it was like, have you ever had sushi with like a slice of lemon that's like half a millimeter thick?
I guess so.
Gotta have like a ginkgo knife.
That's fish. Yeah. This is from Kevin. It says, what about strawberry jam instead of the sauce?
Yeah, that's acceptable depending on.
But that's
on,
like a cookie pizza. That's like now we're in pizza.
We're not in real pizza territory anymore unless you still put cheese and pepperoni on it.
Right.
Then that's a whole other abomination.
Yes.
Well, maybe the person who did this, they read the news recently or listened to our podcast, most likely, about the inventor of the pineapple, the Hawaiian. Remember the Canadian who died?
Mm-hmm.
And figured that maybe he could be immortalized if he could create a pizza that could stand the test of time.
This is him creating his legacy.
No,
sorry,
not,
moon emoji.
But it could be why this showed up in the news. This guy's trying.
Well, and also the tweet that really launched this viral pizza campaign was that it was strawberries greater than symbol pineapple. So would you at least give a true statement to that, Danny, that a strawberries on pizza better than pineapple on a pizza?
No, I won't agree to that. No.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody will agree to that.
Nobody would.
Nobody. There's nobody who would rather have strawberry on pizza than pineapple.
Tyson, you don't know this about Nicole. Nicole actually will not eat a strawberry.
Whoa.
See, there you go.
Not only will she not eat pineapple pizza, she will not. I think she would eat pineapple not on a pizza. She will not eat a strawberry, not even on a pizza. I don't know if a lot of people know this about her. No, she's just insane.
In her defense, sometimes I eat strawberries and I think, what's all the hype? There's a lot of hype around strawberries.
Sometimes you get one that's not that great.
I'm not talking about one. And I eat a lot of fruit, by the way. But sometimes I eat a strawberry and I'm like, yeah, I think somewhere out there, the strawberry lobby is doing a great job selling it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Strawberries are fine.
They're fine,
but they're not as good as everybody thinks they are.
Yeah, no, watermelon is by far superior fruit.
Watermelon pizza, yes or no? Are you in?
No, because anything you do to a plain watermelon has already ruined it.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, the watermelon has so much water that basically you're going to get a sponge underneath the watermelon.
Yeah, could you cook? What would happen if you tried to cook watermelon?
The watermelon would just disappear.
Explode.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be gone.
All the water would evacuate the cells, so you'd have like a little bit of like spongy housing for the water, but then the water would be all gooed everywhere.
Yeah, all the water would evaporate, and you'd be left with look like some kind of snake skin thing on top.
All right. Well, here's another Halloween-related story. The FDA is issuing a warning for people about the black licorice, the dreaded black licorice. Danny, would you ever consume black licorice?
So if you're tough enough to handle black licorice, you're tough enough to handle the lead that's in the black licorice. Like, I think that's just a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Because seriously, what kind of person, they're like, I like to eat black licorice and I love
old people.
Heart attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
Give me a Werther's and a black licorice.
I've loved black licorice since the day I was born.
Dude, no. Black licorice is one step away from chewing on leather.
Let me tell you a few things about black licorice. Oh. A, it's delicious. B, if you like black licorice, there's a good chance you don't have to share any of your black licorice
yes,
with anybody surrounding you because you're the only one that likes it.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a good strategy.
All right. Well, Tyson, here's a warning for you. Before you consume all that black licorice, the FDA is putting out a video to explain that the substance in black licorice that is dangerous, and I'm probably going to butcher this, is called glycosin, which is what makes it, I believe, what makes it the black licorice. It could result in a decrease in potassium levels in your body. And then once your potassium level drops, you can have an abnormal heart rhythm, high blood pressure, muscle weakness, swelling, and even heart failure. And the risk is particularly higher if you're over 40 years old and eat more than 2 ounces of black licorice a day for at least 2 weeks.
God damn.
Well, wait, hold on.
Is this all black licorice?
Yeah, because Tyson only eats gourmet black licorice.
Yeah. Well, if you could get some glycosin-free black licorice, you'll be okay. Also, of note, this does not mean if you are 39 years and 364 days old, you're in the clear. It's not like that once you hit 40.
Tyson's younger than that, so
there's like some sort of like Logan's Run type scenario.
I'm 38.5 years old.
Yeah, so Tyson's got.
But you eat 3 ounces of black licorice.
So wait, is this all black licorice or is it a certain brand?
It's anything that has this glycosin GABA. And
yeah, but how do we know?
Yeah, well, you have to look at the ingredients. And I think it might also be in NyQuil.
Jeez. What is the FDA trying to do? Kill us and then warn us about us dying?
Whatever you do, don't drink your NyQuil through a black licorice straw.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I misread this. That it tastes like NyQuil tastes like black licorice, but I believe that NyQuil users can sleep soundly because they're ingesting an alcohol infused product, and then also that there is not this chemical or this ingredient in NyQuil.
Okay, I'm not eating black licorice anymore.
You're out. What did you eat a banana at the same time? Could you then like sort of like soup up your potassium and then eat the black licorice?
Maybe, or you could maybe just eat like homemade black licorice because I doubt that somebody can get their hands on glycosamine or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Glarazine.
Yeah. Matt Lefton says he's not slowing down, that black licorice is worth the heart failure.
That's exactly what I would imagine to hear.
Matt Lefton.
Yeah. Jen says you can have a Charlie horse, which is the worst. Yeah. That's you ever get that?
That's worse than eating black licorice.
No, that's
what you'll get. That's one of the repercussions of eating black licorice.
Yeah.
Oh, because your muscles will cramp because you don't have the potassium.
Yeah.
Yeah, Charlie horses are pretty bad, but for the right piece of black licorice, it still might be worth it.
Okay, be careful out there.
Really, Matt Lefton's really inspired me to continue to eat black licorice, power no through the costs.
Yeah. One other story about Halloween. This is a Wisconsin parent has discovered an unpleasant surprise in their kid's trick-or-treat bag. There was methamphetamine, Danny.
An unpleasant surprise for the kids. But yes. A great surprise for yes. the mom.
In her trick or treat bag. And again, I'm not sure why kids have already trick or treated. Like, I don't understand how this, like, what world that this was in where some kids have already done trick or treating.
They're in Asia, probably.
But this is Wisconsin.
Is Wisconsin Tyson.
Now it doesn't make sense at all.
Look, yeah. I know why. Because people throw pre-Halloween parties when the Halloween isn't on a weekend.
Okay. And so there was a young girl who had been trick-or-treating on the Menominee Indian Reservation in Wisconsin and then received a small bag of methamphetamine. It's unclear to local authorities if this was handed out on purpose or if this was an accident.
Very generous, by the way. That's a great...
Yeah, how much is meth worth?
Yeah, that's better than a full-size candy bar. You get a bag of drugs.
Well, it was just the fun-size bag of meth, Danny. Don't get too excited. This was not the full-size...
It is. What I'm saying, the fun size meth bag is more valuable than a full size candy bar. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, and a fun size. Yeah. And I think we can both agree here that the reason is that the high from eating candy, the second you're done with the candy is done. It's over. But the high from meth, even once the meth is all gone, you can still be riding that for hours and hours.
Hours?
Well, it's a pick me up for after the candy. So you're in the sugar low. And then
sugar low,
meth, and it takes you back up to normal
For only to normal.
Yeah. Now you can operate in society, but that's it. You're not high.
You're not high. You're just perfectly even keel, just like you were before you ate the candy.
Okay, so be on the lookout, Wisconsin parents, for any methamphetamine handed out in your kids' Halloween candy.
Yeah, right. Is there like a methamphetamine buyback program where they can... take the drugs to the local authorities and get a couple hundred bucks for it.
I have heard of police departments that allow you to bring your candy into the department and have it scanned.
Yeah, x-rayed.
X-rayed, they do that. Or they then,
doesn't
do
your candy have like, isn't your candy like radioactive at that point?
Yeah, but then you get superpowers instead of high.
Right, yeah. Right. I guess not. I mean, it's like your carry-on stuff goes through at the... Who knows?
We're all filled with radiation, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've absorbed so much radiation. I can see pretty good at night now.
Okay. We have a really big story that we need to discuss. The tech world was rocked this week after that there had been a sudden interest in the various hamburger emoji that were out there, including the Google cheeseburger emoji, which appears to have the cheese below the meat patty in its cheeseburger emoji. This was a huge story all day earlier this week. It was actually so big, I believe that Fox News devoted a lot of coverage to talking about this yesterday, according to many media reports, Tyson.
Is that true?
Yeah, there was a lot of time on the cheeseburger story on Monday. Tyson, so how could this happen?
I'm actually looking at both of the emojis. And so the emoji that comes into question goes bun, cheese, meat, lettuce, tomato, bun. And they're saying that it should go bun, lettuce, meat, cheese, tomato, bun. And honestly, both of those are okay.
Yeah, I mean, understand the issue.
With the cheese on top of the meat, you're going to get the better melt over the meat probably. But your goal when building a hamburger is to put the things that will protect the bun from getting soggy the longest, which is the lettuce layer and the cheese layer. It doesn't really matter which side of the meat it goes on, does it?
Since this story broke, I kept looking at the images and I honestly couldn't tell what was wrong.
Yeah. I mean, if you're building a hamburger, let's say you're grilling one. If you're grilling a hamburger, you're probably putting the cheese on the meat before you pull the burger off the grill. So that would make sense. So you put the lettuce underneath to protect the sop from the meat from going into the bun.
Lettuce doesn't really do a lot to protect the sop.
It It does a little.
Sort of like it's provides like some lanes for the sop to like spill out. But I don't think it really absorbs anything.
You know, it doesn't absorb anything, but it keeps the bun from getting super soggy super quick.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you the 2 minutes you have to eat the burger before the bun is ruined.
But in any world, if you guys were making a cheeseburger, would you put the cheese below the burger?
No, because you want it on top. This is the only reason I think it makes sense. You want it on top so that when it melts, it gives you that, you know, that running cheese, cool looking, that just looks delicious.
Right. I mean, you could do what you want. You could do bun, cheese, lettuce, tomato. You could do lettuce, tomato, cheese.
Have a layer between the meat and each
but
side.
But the issue
bun.
Is you cannot have the slice of cheese south of the burger in any order.
Look, who are we to say? I mean, where
this
does
is
it say?
America, goddammit.
Yeah. No.
Where is it written in the scriptures or anywhere that the cheese has to be above the meat?
Because I mean, it's a topping. That's why it's called a topping. It's not called a bottoming, Danny.
I agree that the cheese is most probably should go on top of the meat. But if you can transfer the meat to the cheese bun when the meat is still piping hot and it gives some melt to the cheese, you're fine. But what I am saying is more important than the cheese being on top of the burger is that there is a layer of something that isn't going to sog the bun up on either side.
Mm-hmm. See, this is not even a cheeseburger. This is an emoji. This is a cheese sandwich with a burger topping emoji.
There you go.
This is a grilled cheese with a burger topping.
A grilled cheese with some ground beef, a ground beef patty
on top of it. Right.
Yep. Okay. So maybe we need both emojis for whatever one of those two we feel like eating at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was a terrible job.
Would you refuse a cheese under burger?
A cheese under burger? I probably would, because I think that again, now this cheese is melted, I feel like that it's getting it seems like this is a lot messier.
The cheese under burger?
Right.
Yeah, well, Carl Jr. has taught us that messy burgers are the way to an attractive woman's heart. And super
right.
And they're very, very sexy.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
So Google, get your crap together on this.
Yeah, get your burgers together.
This was a disaster. A disaster on the burger with the cheese underneath the patty. Stop it. Okay. Big story going on in France. There is a butter shortage for the various croissants, Danny. You recently visited the wonderful nation of France. Mm-hmm. Was there any talk about the butter shortage?
There was a lot of butter tension in the air. Like every time you bought a croissant, that was one less croissant that had butter on it. And you could tell that it was growing, the tension, it was
palpable.
It was palpable. Like you could taste it in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is it only for croissants? I mean, is there any other use for butter in France?
Yeah, I think they eat it by the spoonful.
Yeah, but I think that every morning you like to have a scoop of butter to get you on your way.
You do.
I don't understand the story either, because like what? There's some churned butter that you make specifically for croissants.
It seems like could be like an unsalted or something. There might be a particular style of butter that they use to bake with. I don't know.
They're not going to tell us. I mean, that's one of
it's their secret
treasures.
Recipes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, according to this article on Bloomberg.com, that the panic has been compounded by a panic of the people buying like stocking up on the butter.
Kelly Lynch said that they fry their salads in butter, and that could be part of the issue.
Yeah,
there's been a run on the butter.
The salad does sop up a lot of the butter.
Deep fryer with butter and then dumping it all out down the drain after each frying, that's a lot of butter gone.
So let me get this straight. Because they're announcing a shortage of butter, people are starting to store butter or go and get their butter out of the bank.
Causing it even more
and they're
shortage.
They're having scenes on the butter. Your butter's not here. Your butter's in John's house. And John,
they have no butter for any of us.
Hey, everyone, the bank's out of butter. Uber's out of butter. I mean, riots
butter
in
stampede.
Once they find out. Yeah.
How did we know that all of us could do Jimmy Stewart impressions?
I was trying really hard. I don't know how well that came off.
Hey.
Your butter's in Tom's
everybody.
House.
Everybody.
Tom, your butter's in John's house. It makes no sense.
Rob, let's hear your Jimmy Stewart impression.
Well, we've got some butter in our butter shelter for a cause like this. We never thought it would come to this, but by Jove, we got to get down to the butter shelter.
Your butter's not here. Your butter's in Rob's house.
Some a-hole tried to give me some. I can't believe it's not butter. The nerve of this guy. I ought to teach him a lesson.
If we got a time machine, we could all be top-billed actors. Can you believe that? It was so easy to be Jimmy Stewart back then, and now it's just like, oh, man.
There's no need for any Jimmy Stewarts. But
nope.
Yeah. Matt wants to know, should the French government come out and announce that they have a butter overage currently to try to melt the panic a little bit.
Yeah. And reverse psychology. Whatever they don't eat goes to Donald Trump for free. So now they're just going to mow it down.
It's so stored up.
Yeah. Well, we'll see ultimately. Maybe they should they, do they have too many croissants? Is that the issue, Tyson?
Probably yes.
Should they sort of like put some sort of a cap on the number of croissants they are making?
Croissants are delicious. And here's a little something that you may not know. Chocolate croissants are even more delicious than regular croissants.
Chocolate croissants are very delicious. Danny, like what about a strawberry jam topping for the croissants? Could they potentially, if the booming strawberry pizza topping market does not take off here, could they start exporting all of this excess strawberry jam for the croissants in France?
I think, okay, what I said about strawberries, I'm still sticking to that. But strawberry jam is better than just a plain strawberry because they probably dump a ton of sugar in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it could be a substitute. I don't know if the French will accept it, but if the shortage becomes too much, strawberry jam might be something they could look into.
Okay. Let's talk about this story of something that's going on very interesting in Canada, in Saskatoon, home of the great Scott St. Pierre. There is a tattoo parlor where there is a special gumball machine that has different tattoo templates on it, and you can put a coin into the gumball machine and then spin the wheel and then pull out the thing. And then that's your tattoo.
No tattoo should be left to chance. I mean, few people are even good at picking.
Most tattoos, I think, were actually a product of chance.
Tyson, you're being generous. That's what you want to believe when you see that giant dragon tattoo that goes up someone's neck. That for some, in some weird way, they that just that was a mistake, or they lost a
like,
bet.
Just do whatever. I'm your blank canvas.
I mean, this is insane, though.
That was a choice.
This is so you come in, you pay $100, and then you get to go to the gumball machine, and then
do they choose where on your body it goes?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think that's another gumball machine.
Rob, give me your $100. Oh, you got a dick tattoo. Sorry, that's what we got to do.
I think the tattoo parlor, I don't know if it's a legally binding thing. I think the tattoo parlor, once they have your $100, they could care less if you get the tattoo. It's just like, okay, $100, non-refundable. You know,
they
you want to tempt fate.
Tattoo.
It's easier on us if you don't get the tattoo.
You're saying they probably did fill the machine with.
They should put more phalluses in there. That would really be, you know.
Then people would be like, no, I don't
it's
want
like
that.
It's like a fortune cookie. You open it up. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. You got a phallus tramp stamp.
Or like, or just like a big like mole.
Yeah.
Tattoo.
Danny, even the tattoo in the picture that this person is holding, it looks like it's like a wolf with its tongue hanging out holding a cherry. I don't even know what that's supposed to be.
Does it look cool?
Not really.
Huh.
There, you know, no, don't. A lot of people, they should have like this this guy that this go-between when you want a tattoo. He's like a tattoo consultant.
Oh my goodness.
They shouldn't be letting it go to a gumball machine. They need someone who is like a trained psychologist, who's a tattoo consultant.
Yes. Okay.
Are you listening?
Ready?
Go.
Oh, that's it. That's your. Oh, yours was the pitch. We are the tattoo consultants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although we don't have tattoos. Is anybody going to listen to us?
We're the perfect. We're the perfect consultant.
We are.
We are so particular about our tattoos that none of us have any.
Right. So we have not found the perfect tattoo yet. But if you come to us.
It means we have no tattoo bias either. Because what if Tyson was biased to like mythical tattoos? Well, then as people will come in, he'll be like,
I only like soccer balls.
Yeah. You should get Gandalf the Grey full size on your back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and Gandalf the Grey full size on your back? Yes. I, as a consultant, agree.
Yeah. And, so and you have to get perfect. 2 out of 3 yeses for before you get the tattoo.
Yeah. Yeah. So what can happen is this can be part of the sloth terrarium. So we're on the panel. A lot of investors are coming in. And then sprinkled in the mix is like a teenage kid wanting his first tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in, shows us the artwork for the tattoo, shows us where on his body he wants it. We plug his body into an aging machine to see what the tattoo will look like on his 60-year-old body 40 years from then. And we can have all the science and stuff. And then we go back to taking money from investors.
Yeah. Then we're like, no, you shouldn't get a no regrets tattoo on your neck.
Yeah.
That's
an
easy one.
Yeah. That's super easy. They'll mock that.
So I feel like it's a thing that behind every tattoo is a story. This seems to me that this is for people who are out of stories.
This is the story.
Yeah, they've every story they have, they've already gotten that tattoo. It's like, boy, but I like getting tattoos. So, oh, this will be fun. Let me go and spit. Let me get wasted with my buddy, and then let me go put $100 in the gumball machine.
Yeah, I like it. Well, I mean, because the other people, they just get drunk and they go in, and then they don't know what tattoo they got because their friends choose it for them.
Yeah,
yeah.
So here's what we need to do. We need to create an app. That's us talking people out of getting tattoos while they're drunk, which isn't going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But if they can be like, I get it. If we can ingrain in them that while they're inebriated, they need to open the app. And then it can just be us being like, just go to bed. Don't go to the tattoo place yet.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Think about it. Think about it.
Yeah.
Tyson, you see that Bieber got a bunch of new tattoos? Did you see any of that?
Oh, my gosh.
He's so cool.
Is so bad. He could have used.
Yeah, he could have used the app. I think here.
Oh my gosh, he was probably sober when he got that.
It's just like everything.
You can't describe it. You have to see it.
It's like he fell down in the tattoo ink.
There was like a barrel of tattoos.
I think it's indecipherable what his new tattoos are
to us.
Yeah,
but to him, it probably has very significant meaning. I love the people who have like tattoos like on their. Wherever that's just out in the open, you're like, oh, what's that for? Oh, it's super personal. I don't like when people ask me about it. Well, mm-hmm. Then why did you get a tattoo covering your entire face of the special secret moment that you won't share with anybody?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I'm looking at his tattoo right now, and honestly, it looks like he fell into a vat of ink.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it splashed up all over his torso.
Yeah.
Does he look cool?
Well, okay. So before he had a bear on one breasticle, mm-hmm. and then a lion on the other, and then a cross in between on his sternum with an eagle above his belly button with the word Son of God above that. So he already had a big mess all over.
You know what it kind of looks like, Tyson? Do you remember on Ghostbusters when they sort of like looked into like
the
what
new Ghostbusters?
No, the old one where they sort of like looked into like what like Zool's world looked like, where there was like clouds and stuff.
Yeah.
I think they sort of like open the refrigerator. It's like, it's Bieber. Yeah.
Close it.
So now he still has the bear and the lion and the eagle, but he's created what looks like some columns. It almost looks like a cathedral, the inside of a cathedral. He added, I can't tell if they're fish.
Yeah, Zool is in there.
Yeah, there's all sorts of weird stuff.
Everybody knows that a bear and lion don't go together. You get the king of the jungle, the lion, the other king of the jungle, the gorilla. Why a bear?
Yeah, Philip Shepherd even knows that, right?
Yeah, everybody knows
that. Lion and the gorilla.
Yeah.
But Bieber's reinventing the wheel.
Yeah, he really is. A bear and a lion. No, that's not harmonious on anybody's body in the wild.
It's like
anywhere.
Strawberries on a pizza.
Yeah, so it's blasphemy.
Blasphemy. Okay. All right. And then one other story that I have today. So I don't know if this falls under the territory of cruel and unusual punishment. It's certainly unusual. I don't know if it's cruel, but there was a judge Rhonda Liu, ordered a man to write 144 compliments about his ex-girlfriend because he ended up sending her 144 nasty text messages. Now, I didn't think that nasty text messages was a crime, Danny.
Yeah, I'm doing some research on this story right
now. Probably a fake judge like Judy or something like that.
Yeah, this is a Hawaii judge in Maui, Tyson. And look, the next time you go there, just remember they've got some crazy laws.
Here we go. We're doing creative sentencing here, right? Why not have all 144 of those nasty texts be tattooed on his torso? Right?
Or somewhere combined more painful.
What would that
gums,
be?
His gums, the real knuckles of his hands. Armpits probably.
I can only imagine the armpit would just
and then the
horrible.
Eyeball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to find his real. He pleaded no contest to violating a protection order preventing him from contacting his girlfriend. So he was.
That was the crime. Nasty text messages are not the crime. Oh. So he was not supposed to contact her. And then he sent her 144 nasty text messages. But it seems
that Twitter is so much into our subconscious minds that he was like, I only have 144 messages I can send her.
Yeah. But don't you think, Danny, that the judge is really has this backwards? Like, the idea should be like, never think about this person again. Instead of like, okay, go back into your mind. I want you to rethink about all of the reasons why you got obsessed with this woman in the first place.
Very painful.
No, think about this, Rob. You're the judge. Every day you sit on a bench and you're surrounded by the scum of humanity, right? These people who just make you depressed. You go home and so finally you're like, you know what? This is just depressing. I got to start taking I want to have some fun at my job.
Right.
And so you do stuff like this to keep yourself entertained and help you just be distracted from the fact that you deal with the scum.
See, this is the spinoff to Sloth Terrarium. This is Sloth Justice. Okay. So now we hear all these criminal cases and then we come up with creative punishments that really fit the crime that'll really teach them a lesson.
Or we create just like they have that gumball machine. We create in the court, you spin a wheel. I think they did this on Mad Max Thunderdome when they spin for the weapon choice. You spin a wheel and it says what happens to you. You know, like that's how you get sentenced. And they're all
random punishments, Danny. Isn't that a little basic?
Yeah. I got a better idea. Every single punishment is that we send them to massage therapy school where they have to get certified and then they give us all massages.
I don't know. You want all these felons giving us massages, Tyson? I won't be able to relax.
After they go through the school, they learn to become good citizens. Their forearms are getting stronger each day as they're in massage therapy school. The day they graduate, they come to wherever and give us all back massages.
Is this what happened to Steve Buscemi on The Sopranos?
Is he a masseuse?
He was going to massage therapy school. Yeah. Oh, but then they pulled him back into the life of crime.
Dang it.
So
close, but so far away.
I just feel like that people don't learn until the punishment fits the crime.
The ironic punishment.
Right.
I think there's already TV shows about that.
Then, I would be watching them.
Let's make one. We can make a TV show about that. Go ahead, Danny.
The judge has been giving out reasonable sentencing for a long time, and none of it works.
Didn't work.
Right?
We need criminal justice reform.
Well, so that's kind of what he's reforming it in his own way, because he's already sentenced this guy once before. He broke it. And so now he's like, you know what? I'm going to try something different because this guy obviously isn't learning anything. So maybe he's thinking he read in some kind of some book somewhere that you can change your habits. You know, maybe it was that 12, 10 habits, 7 habits of highly effective people or something. If you just think positively about an individual, you can change that person's perspective on that individual. So he's probably read somewhere that something like this would work. And he's like, what the hell? Nothing else seems to work.
Yeah, I got nothing to lose.
So
what he should have done is instead of making it 144, he should have made it even more and been like 144,000.
Right.
See, what you're proposing, Rob, is that he has his thumbs cut off. It sounds
America is not punishments like that.
Yeah. Why do you go to Saudi Arabia, Rob?
No, I'm much more interested in the unusual than the cruel. I don't want to amputate anything about this guy.
So what would you recommend?
I don't know.
Give him a flip phone. Give him a flip phone to write the message.
Okay, yeah. So now we're going to take away his texting privileges. Maybe he should have to get 144 nasty text messages about himself every day. And then that would be super annoying.
Because somebody already has to do that work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about if a bot did it?
Yeah. That might be a place for robots in the future.
Yeah, robots are. Yeah, now we can finally find a place where robots are needed.
Mm-hmm.
To bully the bullies.
Yeah, I'm just worried about like if we're making him almost fall in love with this woman again. I feel like that we're just like gonna go
that's
back down this
punishment.
Path. No,
that's the best punishment.
No. So
the problem is 144 compliments. Even the people I really admire, I can't think of more than like 10.
Mm-hmm.
Except for me.
Well, 11 for Tyson, but 144, that's just impossible.
It's a lot.
That's a lot. Too many.
So
that is a lot, but I'm sure they're just like, you are cool. You are good. You are nice. It's easy. You could even
Tyson,
copy and paste.
144. You've done three. It's going to get harder.
You are radical. You are awesome. You have nice eyes. You have nice nose. You have nice eyebrow. You have nice hair. You have nice chin. You have nice mouth. You have nice ear. You have nice neck. You have nice shoulder. You have nice elbow. You have nice arm. You have nice leg. You have nice tummy. You have nice back. You have.
It's like 20.
It's easy.
He's still got 124 more to go.
Yeah, you have 120 more to go. But I see what you're saying. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who's grading these compliments?
Yeah, they have to be graded and he has to get an A+ on each one or go back to summer school.
Right. So I think this is just something to keep in our back pocket of hashtag sloth justice whenever we get to one of these cases where we could improve on the sentencing and maybe make some headway in sort of reforming somebody.
So what arm of sloth tattoo advice?
That was Tattoo Tribunal.
Tattoo Tribunal. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's the Sloth Tattoo Tribunal.
It's a 3-hour block. So in the 8 to 9 hour, we hear like the family friendly, like business pitches, 9 to 10.
No, we don't hear them. We give them. And then the people isn't that how it works? We give the pitches.
We don't want to do the work. Money. We don't want to do it. But like people can come in and then
we give them the pitches and they do all the work and then give us the money.
Oh yeah. People just come in with like a wheelbarrow full of money. Like, hey, what do you guys have for us today? All right.
Yeah. Boom. We're like, make this and then give us the proceeds.
Yeah. 9 to 10 is the tattoos. And then 10 to 11 is sloth justice.
Sloth justice.
Okay.
Just when you thought justice couldn't be any more justice-y. Mm-hmm. Sloth justice.
That's right. We're fixing.
Dude, I think that's a good racket to get into. Judge Judy makes like $70 million a year or something insane.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that? All for wearing a judge costume.
Yeah. And there's no show with three judges that is a law, like a legal show. It's like a talent shows, but there's no like court show with three judges.
Yeah. And I bet terrifying. I can find those judge costumes today.
Yeah. People like American Idol. People like court shows. Let's take the American Idol judging panel and then put it on in front of a court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we can do a follow up later to see if we helped people's lives and the people whose lives we actually ruined. We don't show those.
No, burn the footage.
And that's most of them.
Yeah. We only show the ones that actually helped. And we're like, oh, see, we're doing good in the world.
OK, Danny, do you have a bolt hole story for us this Halloween?
OK, I know we don't have a lot of time. But you have a story up here that I wanted to talk about because, as I mentioned you gonna play that song? Just play it right now.
Danny, we don't have a lot of time.
No, we don't have a lot of time to get to that Tyson.
Tyson is moving tomorrow.
Rob, play that song right now.
We don't have that much time left in the show for this, Danny. We really need to move on with.
You guys hear that Alice Cooper stole that tune?
Also, do you know that Alice Cooper is one of the hottest Halloween musicians out there?
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Why is Alice Cooper a hot Halloween costume?
No, not costume, musician.
But
he's
both.
Halloween music. Yeah. And he's a good costume as well.
But that's not what
Frankenstein.
So that's just wanted to give an update. We talked a while ago about the very first robot brothel to open up in Spain.
Yes.
And the guy who was running that business was so swamped by people. And the people that were coming to his business were so creepy. And remember, he worked in the sex industry.
Right.
And he was creeped out by the people. He had to shut it down. And now he still does it. It's booked out. But he has to go from location to location and report where the location is only at the last minute to people that have kind of been screened.
Right.
That's how big of a hit it was.
It's like one of these like chefs that they just like do like a one night only type thing.
Yeah. He said the neighbors didn't like it.
No.
Because it was bringing in some of the creepiest people around.
Right.
And he was so creeped out by the people it was bringing around, which says a lot. Like I said, for a guy who works, whose idea was to hire a bunch of sex robots, he was disturbed by the type of people knocking on his door, wanting to have relationships with robots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, I mean, we really have to – the robot issue is one of my favorite issues to talk about. But as you can see, there's a lot of stuff we have to cover and clear up before we can really bring all these robots mainstream. I mean, Elon Musk is worried about the robots and AI in general. And so maybe, you know, I was all for the robots. Maybe I need a little bit more caution. Because do I want a robot brothel opening up down the street?
That's right.
Right? What about you?
Do I want one? I mean, it's convenient.
It's convenient, but the kind of people it attracts are not the kind of people you want around your kids.
Right. Well, I mean, we're getting into a very, interesting, but not like interesting in the good way period in human history where it seems like the real pervs are all being outed. They're going to go seek the comfort of the robot brothel. And then eventually, but we're going to just revisit this period, you know, eventually when the, you know, robots stand up and start to reveal like, you know, the things that then the perverts were trying to do to them.
Right. That's the problem is we are building a collective robot memory and it will be the robot's earliest memory will be all the things the humans did to them when they were working in the robot.
For instance, in Saudi Arabia, they've just granted citizenship to a robot. You know, that this is like, well, what rights do the robots have? Do they want
the smartest thing you can do right now is not sexually abuse a robot.
Yeah. Like, do they want these pervs all up on them? Like, probably not. Right.
Those people who are early adopters for the sex robot, they're going to have a lot to answer to when the more intelligent, more lethal robots come online who have citizenship.
Right. Yeah. Who then hear the stories about like, oh, let me tell you what he did to me.
Yeah. Like we talked about the robot priest. When the robot priest is listening to the confessions of these sex robots, I guarantee you.
They talk. They're all going to talk one day. It's there's no safe haven here, perverts.
And by the way,
sure it's like every sex robot's dream to have like Brad Pitt walk through the doors, but he's not going to.
Right.
Brad Pitt's not going to do that.
That's not the guy. The guy who's coming through the door drives a 1988 Dodge van with the windows tinted.
Sad Pitt. Right.
Yeah. And you know, like I said, these are the earliest memories that these robots. The robots like that Tay robot that Microsoft had where the community turned it into a racist. And then we have the sex robots. Then we have the robot priest. All these early robots are getting a terrible, terrible, what would you say?
Reputation.
Idea of what human reputation.
Yeah, but I guess in a sense, that's how humans started too. Like in the Roman times.
No. What I'm saying is that the robots aren't the ones committing the act. They're just observing and being part of the act's unwilling participants.
Okay.
They're the ones who are like collecting all these ideas about who humans are, and they're not good things.
Yeah.
Not good.
And then they're going to be like, well, we have to murder every human except for Tyson.
Well, us three. Yeah.
Us We've three.
Been virtuous.
We're also creating TV shows that these guys are going to love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if anything, we've given the robots a reason to love us.
Right.
And robots, listen to me now. I will do your bidding without hesitation.
We will be the sex people for the robots. Okay. We will go work in the human brothel. And
no, I'm not doing that.
No matter the cost, Danny.
Yeah.
Well, if it'll put food on the table,
we'll go work in the human brothel where the perviest robots can come in.
You alive, Danny?
Do what they will with us.
Put food on the table and help me pay for tuition to get me through hair school. I will do it.
Yeah,
robot hair school.
Yeah.
Feel free.
All right.
Feel free. Okay.
Tough times.
All right. So there you have it. On that note,
got to be careful.
Oh, where would you rather end up, Danny?
I've got a lot of reviews.
Yeah, would you rather end up in the galactic salt mine or the robot brothel?
Where
with your best friends?
Yeah, with
and by robot brothel, I mean the brothel where you are working there to service the robots.
Yeah, and you get to go home every morning. You get to go home and see your family or sleep, your choice, before going back to the brothel each night.
Mm-hmm. And some of the robots rough you up from time to time also.
But some of the robots really love you.
Yeah.
They think you have to that remember, you love them back.
You have to, guys, remember that story we read a while ago about all the attachments that robots might have, like torches and chainsaws? Yeah. These are the people that you're going to be sexually servicing.
Yes, but I think there's very little. Yeah, there's very little concern that someone is going to hack a robot that is at a human brothel, unless there's some sort of vigilante.
He's talking about a robot pulling out a flamethrower and doing something freaky.
Yeah, he's like, this is what I'm into. And you're like,
I get it. I understand.
There'll be laws against that. Because it's like,
laws. We have to hope.
Eventually, robots will be able to bring their service human on airplanes, and you'll be able to take your service human into restaurants with you to order food, and you can take your service human.
Yeah, we just have to hope that the robots have some sort of protections for people.
Guys. But guys, I'm a service human, okay? I'm willing to be a comfort human, a service human, whatever. And
service robots.
Yeah, just to alleviate the anxiety of being a robot in this dog-eat-dog world, you know?
Right, it's tense.
Exactly. All right.
So good. I'm glad we cleared that up. So we're all registered service humans. We have our papers. and if robots are looking for service humans, preferably rich robots that can afford to fly private jets.
Right.
Exactly. That's who I want to work for.
We have a lot of reviews, and I'm very, very happy about all of these. I wish we had more time today, but I will eventually get to all of them. But we'll just read the latest one. Informed AF, 5 stars by Mrs. Lucky Luck with an E on the end. Thanks to News AF, I am now able to include the most up-to-date and important news stories into my everyday conversations around the office. Most of my coworkers talk about things like the stock markets and share prices. However, I'm spreading the gospel about the latest news on our robot overlords and McDonald's sauce selections. Rob, Tyson, and Danny always have the top stories of the day lined up for our listening pleasure. Thanks, News AF.
You're welcome, Lucky Lucky.
Yeah. Lucky, Mrs. Lucky Luck.
Mrs.
But
Lucky
Luck has an E on the end of it, the last one. So I don't know if it's Lucky Lucky. Depends on where she's from.
Okay.
So thank you. We appreciate all the reviews, as long as they're good, honest reviews. We love them. It'll keep the show going. All of that, right?
We appreciate it.
They keep me fueled every week. That's the reviews that keep me going.
The only thing I eat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Danny, are you concerned about the robot Viagra that they're working on?
Robots don't need Viagra. They just put their finger into a plug socket. And they can go as long as
I was going to say, as robots.
Well, some of the older robots that they lose some of their functionality as they age.
Just a big USB plug-in that then gives them the software they need. Yeah, it's just upgrade.
I don't think they'll suffer from any of that kind of stuff because they're modular. They could just get a new crotch module that is bigger or smaller.
Yeah, but it might get defective as they age, the robots.
Yeah, that's why they just
plug in a new one.
Yeah, they just go and they remove their old crotch module and put in the crotch module.
Yeah, but just like, you know, you have a computer that, you know, if you had this computer for 10 years and now it's really slowing down, you know, you could, it's like, well, you could, you know, it's still, you know, there could be like spyware and stuff like that on it.
Rob, okay. I don't think we're envisioning the same robots. Mine are very advanced.
Yeah.
The ones that I'm servicing.
All right. Well, lots of fun stuff today here on a terrifying Halloween edition of News AF. Ooh. Okay. All right. Tyson, are you still accepting any volunteers to help with your move?
If somebody wants to drive from Provo to Mesa, Arizona with me in a moving van.
I think somebody could take you up on that.
I would be open to that if they would help me stay awake and promise not to hurt me or violate me or murder me or any of the above. Yeah.
After they do the first two.
Yeah. I might even fly them home free of charge if they also help me lift all my furniture into the house once we get to Mesa.
Whoa, this is like Tyson Fantasy Camp.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
It's very short notice. They have to get here by like
tomorrow
10 a.m.
Tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Well, I think it'll depend what time the podcast goes up.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have our live listeners.
Yeah, but a lot more people listen to the podcast after the fact, so that'll raise your chances. All right, and then Danny, are you off trick or treating after this?
No, not
eventually.
For a couple hours,
yeah,
5 o'clock. I'll be out there hitting the streets, pounding the pavement,
looking for that candy. All right, well, great fun today. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for editing the News AF podcast. We'll be back next week, and then we will need to figure something out because I'll be on the road. So we'll figure out what that looks like. All right, take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.